The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho. This is the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. And let's go for a ride, because it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day today with Stormy Daniels on the show. Huge, huge adult entertainment legend. She's got so many great stories because now she works exclusively behind the scenes in the adult film business. She is a machine. She is an industry unto ourselves. And I want to thank her for doing this show, and I want to thank all of you who have nominated my industry, Talk is Jericho, for a podcast award. In our first year, we're already up for a best sports podcast, and there's a lot of great competition that we're fighting up against. Like I said, I don't know if this is a sports podcast, entertainment podcast, a pop culture podcast. I don't care. I want this award. If you're listening to this show, if you're digging this podcast, if you're one of the 64 million people who have downloaded Talk is Jericho, please give my show a vote. You can vote once a day until March 24th, and it's really easy. All you got to do is go to podcastawards.com and you vote for Talk is Jericho in the best sports podcast. You click on the little dot there and we get a vote, and the winners will be revealed on April 14th in Las Vegas. It would be amazing to actually win a podcast award. So again, if you like being entertained by Talk is Jericho twice a week for free, remember, this is free, people. Please go to podcastawards.com and cast your vote. And hey, while I'm asking for your support, here's a great cause, an event. It's a great event to throw your support and a few bucks behind. My buddy Mick Foley's WrestleMania Dream Vacation Raffle. All the raffle ticket proceeds benefit RAIN, R-A-I-N-N, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. It's a great cause. Raffle tickets are only $2 each, but you have to buy a minimum of five. The grand prize winner will be chosen on March 18th, and get this, they get a trip to this year's WrestleMania in Santa Clara, California. You get airfare, hotel, two tickets to WrestleMania, two tickets to the WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and a chance to meet and hang out with Mick Foley. You get a bunch of other cool prizes as well. Check it out. Purchase your raffle tickets at WrestleMania.rain.org. That's WrestleMania.rain.org. My good buddy Mick Foley, always doing things for good causes. He's a great guy. Support him and support this amazing raffle. And maybe you can win a free trip to WrestleMania 31. It's going to be amazing. You can tell me how it is, because I'm not going to be there. Even though people go, are you going to be there? I'm not going to be at WrestleMania 31, but I will be watching the show. I'm also going to be listening intently, as I have adult film legend, actress, writer, director, a true star, a true porn star, a real porn star, Stormy Daniels is on the show. She's worked a lot with Talk is Jericho alumni Asa Akira. She's pulled a prank or two on Asa. She's going to tell us about all those stories, along with what Stormy will and won't do on camera. There's also a secret porn handshake. Not going to be much of a secret after this podcast, so you're going to find out why. Stormy's got so many great stories, and once again, like Asa, this is not a sex talk. This is just a talk with a really cool, interesting interesting woman who's done a lot in her chosen field. And she's smart, man. I would not want to mess with her. I think she's almost a genius, unlike me. All right. I got to say thanks to Stormy for doing the show. Thanks to all of you for listening. And thanks to all my amazing sponsors of Talk is Jericho, the ones who let me do this show for you for free for twice a week, including Amazon. Remember, if you're going to do your shopping, do it through my Amazon links. It's the easiest way to support this show. Just go to podcastone.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then you hit the Talk is Jericho button. Remember, every time you use one of my Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a couple bucks to the show to help us cover production costs. I got links for USA, UK, Canada. You can go all around the world and shop on Amazon. You get so many cool things, including my new DVD, The Road is Jericho. You have to see this new WWE DVD featuring yours truly. It's a collection of some more of my classic matches, personally selected by me, and a great documentary interspersed in between with stories about all of them, thoughts about all of them, behind the scenes information about how the matches came to be, some anecdotes behind each match. It's a really cool, unique package. You've never seen anything like this before. It's called The Road is Jericho. It's the new WWE DVD. You can buy that on Amazon. Please do. You can buy the new Fozzy record, Do You Want to Start a War? We're currently on tour with that right now over here in Europe. You can also get my new book and my third New York Times bestseller, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. So many cool things you can get. A lot of Jericho products and a lot of products from all of my other guests as well, including Josh Gates and Zach Bagans and Shawn Michaels and Andy Biersack and Paul Stanley. All of their respective bands and books and albums and DVDs are up on Amazon. Go buy them through me. You can listen. You buy whatever you want. But just remember, no hidden fees, no extra charges. So if you happen to be doing some online shopping, do it through my Amazon links. Help out the show in the process. Once again, podcastone.com. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. You bookmark it so you get those links in one easy click. Okay. So we've had a couple times on the show with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, which is an amazing behind-the-scenes newsletter if you guys haven't checked it out, if you're into wrestling. If you like reading about business aspects or kind of some of the details behind the shows and the pay-per-views and the business and kind of history, historical pieces, Dave is the best in the business. He's the only guy I'll talk to on my show. WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find out more about this. He recently put out a list of the top 100 draws in the wrestling business. Now, no question for the past several years, it's more the product that does and doesn't draw. I think just the name WWE will draw. And as big as John Cena is, he's not the difference maker that most of the guys ranked with him were at the time. If you take guys like Hulk Hogan or Bruno Sammartino or Jim Londos or those type of guys, even Ric Flair in his key markets off a show, the difference in the gate, at least during their peak periods, was huge. You do the same for Cena, and there's a difference, but rankings for he and Triple H and those type of guys are based more on WWE being the only show in town than them being the top stars for so many years. But it does go to the show, if nothing else, that their longevity at the top is noteworthy. But the level of difference-making competition isn't there like at any time in modern history. That's directly from the Wrestling Observer list. So we're going to go through some of the top draws of all time. This is the list from like 1 to 100, okay? And we're going to go up to about, 70 or so. So number one, Jim Londos is kind of an old school guy. Bruno Sammartino, Lou Thesz, Bill Longson, Hulk Hogan, Ed Strangler Lewis, Antonio Rocca, Ric Flair, Buddy Rogers, and Joe Stecher. Now, a lot of those names are unfamiliar, but if you're talking about guys from the 30s and 40s, they made a big difference and were huge draws for their time period. So if you're going for kind of a listing of wrestlers in their eras, that those guys are at the top completely. All right, and then we go to, then it's John Cena at 11, Dick the Bruiser, The Sheik, The Rock, Triple H, Killer Kowalski, Bob Backlund, Andre the Giant, Whipper Billy Watson, Stanislaus Zbyszko, and Yvonne Robert. Once again, you get some more names that you actually know about. And these are guys that drew the most, the biggest houses, you know what I mean? And these are like basically based on the years that they were on top, how many big houses that they drew, pay-per-view numbers. It's kind of some kind of a weird calculated system. I'm not saying this is gospel. This is just an interesting list in Dave's newsletter here. And then you got John Pisek, never heard of him. Undertaker, Frank Gotch, Conan, Mystico, Mysticis, Sin Cara. Believe it or not, the original Sin Cara in the WWE is one of the top 25 draws of all time. Everett Marshall, Gene Kaniski, Ed Don George, Harley Race, Gus Sonnenberg, Dick Shycat, and Steve Austin, and Antonio Inoki. Those guys are tied for number 32. Then we continue on with Dan O'Mahony, Randy Savage, Johnny Valentine, Randy Orton. Randy's doing really good at 34. He'll move up for sure into probably the top 20 of all time as he continues his career. Perro Aguayo Sr., Mexican legend. Gorgeous George, Shawn Michaels, Freddie Blassie, The Crusher, and Kane. They're all tied at 41. So you can see Kane over the years has been a huge draw for the WWE, even though sometimes he's kind of the forgotten man because he's been there for so long. But that's definitely going to be one of the most successful gimmicks that the WWE has ever created, with Undertaker being number one. Superstar Billy Graham, Shinya Hashimoto, Ray Steele, Dory Funk Jr., Vern Gagne, Ray Stevens, Pat O'Connor, Batista. Batista tied for number 50 as one as the top 50 draws of all time. And of course, big thanks to Dave for doing Talk is Jericho, and big congratulations for him for being the new James Bond villain, Mr. Hinks, I believe it is. He's a true blue movie star now at this point. Then we got Keiji Muto, Ricky Dozan, Dusty Rhodes, Sandor Szabo, Vincent Lopez, Bret Hart, Vladek Zabisco, a lot of Zabiscos, no Larry though, Eduardo Campanche, Pedro Morales, Bobo Brazil, Irk Craddock, Jerry Lawler, Miguel Perez Sr. and the Road Warriors, and Chris Jericho tied for number 63 of the biggest draws of all time. That's a nice little surprise. That's pretty cool, huh? So I'm tied with Earl Craddock, Jerry Lawler, Miguel Perez Sr., the Road Warriors, and the Big Show, and me, all at number 63. So anybody who thought that Chris Jericho and the Big Show were a very money-making tag team, you're right, because we are tied for the top 63 draws of all time in the entire wrestling business. So that's pretty cool, man. I'll take it. Like, if so, I'm going to get a jersey made with number 63 on the back. Yeah, I'm 63. I'm 63, bitches. Oh, I am number 63 on the top draws in the wrestling business. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. All right, let's continue on. Perro Aguayo Jr., Primo Carnera, Stan Hansen, El Santo tied for 70. Kurt Angle, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Man Mountain Dean, Lazoslo Tallam, Maurice Tillette, Fritz Von Erich tied for 74. So Brock Lesnar is making that big-time cash with Vince, and he's only tied for number 74 of the biggest draws in the wrestling business of all time. Me being at number 63, I should probably make 11 times better salary if Brock is 74 and I'm 63. So I'm going to have to ask for a raise next time I go back to the WWE. Jim Browning, Dr. Jerry Graham, who, by the way, is Vince McMahon's all-time favorite wrestler. Ultimo Guerrero, Kenta Kobashi, Ivan Koloff, Yukon Eric, Sergeant Slaughter, Ultimate Warrior, Ernie Ladd, Giant Baba, Henri Deglane, Eddie Graham, George Hackenschmidt, Paul Orndorff, Chris Benoit, Sien Caris, Wilbur Snyder, Tenryu, Bobby Maganoff, and Nobuhiko Takada. Those are the top 100 draws of all time in the wrestling business. So not a bad list there. And like I said, I'm number 63. So from now on, whenever you see me refer to me, I want you to call me number 63. Oh, there's number 63. Y63J. That's me. The number 63 biggest draw in the wrestling business history. You think I'm ever going to let this down? No, I'm never going to let you guys forget about this. This is number 63 here. Once again, we got Stormy Daniels coming up here on the show today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, I'm here in the lovely Los Angeles home of Stormy Daniels.
Hi.
I've known you for a while, and it's cool we finally get a chance to do this.
I know. This is awesome.
I know. It's great because we were actually laughing. I had Asa on the show a few months ago, and she was a lot of fun, but she was always talking about you because you've actually directed her in a couple of things, right?
Yeah, I like to torture her.
In what way?
Because she's got that reputation for being such a bad girl and so hardcore.
Uh-huh.
But she's really like a scaredy cat.
Yeah.
If it's not sex related, if something's not penetrating her, anything else is horrifying to her. So the very first, in this very room, actually, the very first day that she was on set for Wicked when we signed her, I played a gag on her and posted on YouTube because I have a reputation for being like a very serious director.
Uh-huh.
So we all had her convinced. It was kind of her first big acting thing,
right.
Her first feature. And we all had her terrified that if she didn't know her lines, I was going to beat her up. So we staged a fake fight between me and one of the male talent.
Really?
Where like I kick all of his stuff and I hit him because he was 5 minutes late, and we actually made her cry in the makeup chair, and then we put it on YouTube. But
that sounds very, very wrestling wise. So you were, we call it ribbing in wrestling.
Yeah, totally. And then
so how did the fight come about? Like, what did you say? Like, I'll say that, you know, you forgot your line, and then you
I pulled the guy, Stephen St. Croix is a very, very good actor. We've known each other for a long time. And before he pulled up, I was like, when you get here, like, call me and I'm going to come outside and tell you what we're going to do. You have to help me do this. And he was like, I have to have sex with her afterwards. I was like, I know, it's going to be perfect. It'll give it chemistry. And he came in and he just blew it away. I was like, where have you been? Your call time was 2:30. He's like, no, my call time was 2:45. And I was like, you're 15 minutes late. And he threw his stuff at me and I threw my headphone and it just escalated. And then we, you know, I know you're listening, you can't hear, but we ran around the side of the building and went out this window. And she could see from the makeup chair us yelling at each other outside the window. And he like threw a fake hit at me and I punched. It was very, you would have been proud.
Very WWE. You
would have been very proud.
Throwing hands out there.
And then I've just continued to torture her over the last year. Like, we shot a big movie a couple months ago that's releasing this week called Pretty Dangerous. And I hung her upside down from a ceiling. I told her that it was a sex swing. But really, it was a harness because she's supposed to be a cat burglar. And before she was all strapped in, before she realized what was happening, we flipped her upside down in hunger because I didn't have her drop into the safe and she was crying. Then I took her out in the ocean on a speedboat and then we were jumping waves and she was crying. And now I have her convinced that she has to ride a horse in my next movie.
Can she ride a horse?
No. And she's terrified of horses. I'm joking. I'm not actually going to put her on a horse because that really is dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. But she doesn't know that.
You talk about having about how you have a strict reputation as a director about knowing your lines. Like, how important is it to know your lines in a porno movie?
It's most people will tell you, and I hate this. This is one of my pet peeves. Oh, it's just porno. It doesn't matter. Well, it's actually our job, and it does matter in the movies that I do because I work for Wicked Pictures, and we're all couples features, and it's a different genre, and the dialogue and the scripts are actually important. It's not pizza boy comes to the door. Oh, I don't have a tip. However, will I pay for this? Like, I know a lot of people don't watch porn for the acting or the dialogue, but there are people who do, and that's the genre that I work in. But the most important reason for people to know their lines is that we have 40 pages and 5 sex scenes to do in 2 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you don't know your stuff when you come to set, you've ruined everyone's day. Because we, unlike a mainstream movie, we don't have infinite time. We hit the ground running, and it's balls to the wall for 16 hours.
Literally balls to the
wall. Literally. Literally and figuratively. So it's extremely important.
So this is the side of the business that really intrigues me. Much when I talk to Asa from the performer standpoint, mm-hmm. and you now more than anything are kind of a one-stop shop when it comes to making movies. You mentioned that you work for Wicked, but you direct, you write, you do everything.
I do everything. And I'm a control freak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, I know you asked Asa this question because I actually listened to her podcast the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scoping. I wanted to make sure. I wonder how good you were.
Okay, thank you. I hope you enjoyed it.
And you asked her, do you like performing and directing? And she gave the exact opposite answer of me.
Which, and her answer was, she doesn't, she's not
she
interested.
Wants, she loves the performing. She doesn't like
she's
the stress.
She's bored by directing
she
or something.
She doesn't like the stress. And
that's right.
Whatever. And I'm opposite. Like, yes, I love acting and it's fun. And who doesn't love sex? I mean, that's great. You get to come to set and have a professional orgasm. Duh, and get all made up and look beautiful and whatever. But it's not creatively rewarding for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's the directing. Like, I like to, the most important thing to me is writing. I consider myself to be a writer. And there's nothing more magical for me than seeing something I wrote come to life. So Yes, because, you know, in mainstream, you have a ton of people on your crew to do these jobs for you. But I write the script, and then I take the script, and I break it down. I do the shoot schedule, the budget. I book all the talent, all the locations, do all the paperwork, buy all the wardrobe, do all the props, come here.
Wow.
Shoot the movie, which a lot of times I'm also the lead. And then I take the movie home, and it gets edited at my house.
So, I mean, this is the art form of it, too. And of course, people who don't know is the same people that say, well, wrestling's not an art form or whatever, or porn's not an art form. But when you're creating something out of nothing, yeah, it is art. And you mentioned, too, and this is something I learned from talking with Asa about the difference between gonzo porn
and
then feature porn. Now, gonzo is, like you said, it's just basic
one,
sex.
One, two, three, sex.
Yeah, well, yeah, one, two, three, here we go. Have sex. But, and this kind of harkens back to, like, I remember when I first saw porn movies when I was a teenager in the 80s, they always had a story. I remember the one that sticks out was the Tiffany Minx.
Right.
Which was like almost like a mystery, like a spy movie. And that was kind of how porn started.
Right.
And then it went away from that. But your movies are all very story oriented.
Yes. 100%.
And you get the costume?
I do everything. Yeah. We're shooting in May, we're shooting a big Western. And that's going to be a costuming nightmare.
So where
I'm already like twitching thinking about it, and I have to do all of it.
Do you have designers, or do you go to shops, or how do you do
both? Well, we rent our stuff from the same place that the Hollywood movies do.
Mm-hmm.
It's all legit, and I know a lot of people listening are like, oh, nobody watches porn for that. Well, you might not, but if a lot of people didn't, I wouldn't even have a job.
Right.
There are people who are still very into that 70s version that has a storyline. There's people that they just want to turn on the internet and watch two hot people go at it, but there's a whole nother set of people that are like, I want to know why those hot people are going at it, and that's where I come in.
I can see that though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I remember there was it used to be the joke like, oh, he reads Playboy for the articles.
Exactly.
But there is
some
great articles in Playboy, great interviews. Right. If you can get a Playboy interview, it's like getting a Rolling Stone interview. It's a big deal. Yeah. And of course, there's gorgeous girls naked in between. But if you just want to see that, you can go get Hustler or Wii or whatever. So you're kind of like the Playboy of porno films.
And the cool thing about what I do is if you don't want to watch the dialogue, you can just fast forward.
Yeah.
But if your lady wants to watch the dialogue, then you sit there because the payoff is still going to be the same for you. You're going to get laid.
Do you find that a lot of people watch porn as couples?
I think overall porn watchers, no.
Mm-hmm.
I think 90% of my porn watchers are. Like, I make movies specifically for couples. Most of my fans are couples, and I know this to be true because every time I make a personal appearance, I go to a strip club and dance, or I do a store signing at a Hustler store or whatever, I have so many women and couples in line. And the woman always says the same thing. We love that you're a female director because your stories make sense. And I just love knowing why these, I like the backstory and I get turned on. And the guy just says, you're my hero. You got my wife to watch porn. So it's a win-win, and it's really cool. And I have so many people come up to me and say, oh, you helped our marriage. You helped our sex life because I always wanted my wife to watch porn, but she wouldn't because in the back of our head, if there's a male director, you still think, I wonder if he's making that girl do that. Clearly being a female director, I'm not taking advantage. So I, being a woman director, kind of take the guilt out of watching porn. So the woman's not worried about anything else and can just enjoy.
You almost take the exploitation element out.
Exactly. At least in their mind. Even though, I really haven't seen any of that in the business anyway, but,
but the
couple watching the movie in Kansas, she's still thinking these poor girls might not want to
be
there.
Would be the cut down if you don't understand what the business is, right? If you don't understand the art form of the business we're talking about. Have you seen a difference? What year did you start working in the business?
2002.
Okay, so it's been about 12. I was thinking more like the stigma of being known as a porn star. Like before it was almost like, but now it's almost, it's a cool thing. It's like,
it's gone so far that it's almost not cool anymore.
Oh.
Everybody calls themselves a porn star.
That's true.
I'm like, no, you're a porn performer. There's only a few porn stars. A porn star is someone, if you make them walk through the mall, people are going to stop them.
People will know. So who would be porn stars? I mean, you're one of them.
You've got Asa, Jesse Jane, Jessica Drake, Annika Albright's pretty recognizable.
Who's like, let's say if you're a guitar player, you love, Jimmy Page, you love Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
Like, who's like the porn version of that?
Well, you're going to say, and anyway, he's going to say Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson. Is she like the epitome of?
I mean, everybody knows Jenna. Everybody knows Tara.
Yeah.
Everybody
Tara Patrick.
Jesse Jane. You know.
Those are like the top stars.
And I'm not trying to, this sounds really conceited. I don't mean it that way, but now my name is in that because I've stayed so long. I'm the longest running contract star ever.
Really?
Yes.
So
which just means I'm old. But yeah, I mean, there's
means you're experienced. That's the word we use.
Something to be said because a lot of girls get in and they're gone within 3 years.
So when you say that you're like a contracted performer, like in the 30s and 40s in Hollywood, you would be, you're contracted to Universal. Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head, nodding your head.
Yes.
So it's the same because that's gone now in Hollywood, but in the porn biz, that's
and it's
how
almost
it works.
Gone here.
Okay.
Like Vivid doesn't have any contract stars anymore. When I got into the business, there was like 10 companies that had contract girls, and I'm pretty sure there's only like two or three companies left that have contracted performers, and Wicked is one of them.
So is this like a contract you sign every year or renews?
They vary. Some girls do year to year, some do every
but how about for you?
For me, my first year was 2 years because really, I mean, your stuff doesn't even start coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just renew every year, and I work for the best boss. I probably shouldn't put this out there, but I actually have been with Wicked for 12 years. Did I do 12?
Yeah, 12
years?
Yeah.
12 years, and I've never signed anything.
Oh.
We have a handshake, and every, you know, I've quit asking, but years ago I'd be like, do you want me to sign anything? He's like, well, I mess it up.
Yeah.
It's working fine. And we just,
that's the loyalty of it.
Yeah. He's the greatest guy to work for. And,
what's his name?
Steve Ornstein.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great because, he really wants you to be successful, like in everything. When I went to him after being there for, you know, a couple months and was like, hey, I also write and have some other companies wanting to buy some scripts. He added writing to my contract. And then I became a director because I was selling scripts to other directors, and we have some fabulous directors. But anytime you hand something that you've written over to someone else, it's going to be their interpretation.
Of course.
And it's not, I'm not saying it was right or wrong. It just wasn't what I envisioned in my head. And it would, that's not my vision. And I just really wanted to know if just one time I could take what was in my head to paper to screen. And I had no idea what I was doing. And I totally bluffed the owner of the company. Sorry, Steve. And told him I knew what I was doing. And I didn't, but halfway through that first day, I was directing this big party scene. I remember standing at the top of the stairs and thinking, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. Like, I finally found, like,
you found the passion.
Yeah. And it's.
And what movie was that?
That movie was called One Night in Vegas, and it starred Kehlani. And it was just like that moment in my life where I was like, I found my home. This is what I meant to be.
Now, as a director, are most porn directors ex-porn stars or porn stars?
I would say it's 50-50.
Is it easier to take direction if it's somebody that you know has been in the business?
Yes and no.
How do you mean?
Yes, because when you're speaking to the talent, you can understand where they're coming from, and they can relate to you because it's a very sensitive, it's not like directing a mainstream movie where you're telling someone just how to act.
Mm-hmm.
Sex is still intimate. And when you're talking about, you know, the sexual act and you're telling somebody how to have sex and what to do with their most private parts of their bodies, it's got to be handled a little bit delicately. And if you're taking direction from someone who's been where you are, it's a little bit easier. But on the flip side of that, sometimes it's harder because they think you're buddies and they might not respect you. So you have to, you know,
you're
be
putting
a little
on your
tough
director's hat
yeah.
now. Yeah.
And we're not buddies today. Today I have a schedule and I'm in charge of, you know, we can't talk like we do when we're at a party. So it's hit or miss. But the other good thing about that is I can also see through all your bullshit. No excuse you're going to give me is not one that I've already thought about using on another set.
You mean like getting there late or something?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Or not wanting to do something.
Right.
Or what are some of the excuses,
you know,
that you would
faking,
give?
You know, because it's, you know, oh, I have cramps or, you know.
Lady troubles.
Yeah.
Scares guys away every time.
But that's not going to work on me.
Yeah, it can't. Right. Exactly.
Right.
What are some of the guy excuses?
Oh, goodness. The whole, oh, it's just a spider bite. No, that staff, get off my set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would someone have staff infection and come onto the set?
Because like, people are stupid.
Okay.
Like,
so that's up to
stupid.
You for like almost health reasons.
Oh, yeah. I'm in charge
stuff.
Of everything. And that's what Asa was saying. Like, she doesn't like the stress. And it is very stressful.
Well, yeah.
You know, like when you're acting, you're just in charge of yourself. When you're directing, you're in charge of everyone everyone's well-being. It's like herding kittens. You know what I mean? It's hard. And I'm in charge, you know, the owner of Wicked, who I have great respect for, obviously, all of his money.
Have, you know, you talk about like wrestlers or I'm not sure much about so much about rock guys, but at least from a lot of guys that I know, it's changed over the last 10 years, you know, talking about like guys are and girls more responsible, not partying as much, not as crazy, especially in wrestling. There's been a big change.
Yeah.
Have you seen that in your business as well?
I've seen it in my business and the music industry. Mm-hmm. You know, like I live with a musician.
Right.
There's a lot of bitter in my house with the piracy. You know, we're both getting screwed, but I think it's all it's social media and camera phones.
And how do you mean?
Because yes, we're trying to take better care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the other part of that is the people are going to find out if you act like an asshole.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like
you can't
media,
hide anything.
You can't hide anything.
Yeah, that's a big
difference. If you do something wrong, someone's going to get a camera video of it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going to find out due to Twitter and Instagram. You can't have any fun anymore.
I know. You can't do anything wrong.
You can't do anything.
What the heck's going on with that?
Screw you, internet.
Now, you mentioned, too, that sometimes you direct and star in a film. How does that, how do you do that? How does that work?
I'm crazy. I told you I'm a control freak.
So do you have to go look at the camera shot or do you trust your DP? DP has a couple of different meanings in porn, I guess, right?
Yes, but I know you're talking about director of photography.
Yes, director of photography.
Which I am also the director.
You do that too?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I have a camera operator.
Okay.
But I set up the shots and tell them where to light. And like I said, it's a lot of hats. But I've learned to really trust myself. So what I'll do is I'll do a couple takes until I feel like I did a good performance. And then, yeah, I'll go and watch the playback and make sure, you know, that there wasn't a boom in the shot. Or, you know, I also have a tech sitting behind the monitor looking for technical things. A boom in the shot. Oh, there's a cord on the floor we can see. Or, oh, we got a logo. Because you can't show any logos, obviously. So he's looking for technical things. And then I'll step behind the monitor and watch the performance. And if I'm happy, then we move on. And for the sex scenes, because obviously I'm not going to stop and keep running away from the guy to go look.
Yeah.
I position the monitors where I can see them. And I always feel really bad for whoever I'm having sex with because, you know, the monitor will be off where I can see it. And I'll wait till the cameraman is on a shot that doesn't show my face. And I'll be like, and I'll lean back and look and be like, oh, I need to point my toe. Oh yeah, oh, yeah I love. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay.
It's like the modern day version of having a mirror on the ceiling.
Exactly right? What it's like. Yeah.
You know, we mentioned earlier too about the budgets and all that sort of stuff. So when you're doing, I mean, some of your movies are pretty high concept as far as, you know, you mentioned being on a speedboat and all that sort of stuff. I mean, filming on the water is hard.
And I love to blow shit up.
So what kind of budgets are you dealing with?
This is what's going to blow your mind. Okay, let's see here. The biggest budget movie that I've ever shot is a movie called Operation Tropical Stormy. And I had 3 explosions. We rented 2 yachts, had 4 fight scenes. We went to Hawaii and shot for 3 days. We did all this really cool stuff. And keep in mind, this is the most expensive movie that Wicked's ever done and I've ever been a part of it. And the budget was
$200,000. Wow.
Most of the movies I direct, not including my fee because I'm under contract, but the actual budget that I turn in for production is $40,000 to $55,000.
Wow. Okay.
And I hear what these budgets of like B movies and things on TV are. And I was like, do you know what I could do with $500,000? Oh,
yeah. You're talking about one episode of like Sons of Anarchy is like, you know, $2 million.
I don't even think I could. I don't think I could spend $2 million if I tried.
It's amazing how much you can waste money when you have a lot.
Yeah.
And when you don't, how much you can make it work.
Yeah. I have a horror movie script that I wrote years ago that I've shopped for years and I've kind of given up because
shopped to mainstream film. Okay.
And I had a lot of meetings and several times it was almost like taken. And at the last minute, someone somewhere would have a problem with who I was. Mm. Don't even get me, makes me sick. But the budget for that movie was $1 million. And I was like, I don't even think I could spend all of that.
Yeah, right. And
what
would you do with it?
Yeah, I don't even know what I would do with it. But everybody loves the script and I've tried to buy it and I won't part with it. I'm like, if I'm not directing it, I'm not selling it. I'm sticking to my guns.
Gotcha.
And people are like, oh, well, what if we let you direct it but use a different name? And I'm like, don't even tell me that. Like, you're missing the point. The point of having me direct this is that I have a built-in fan base already. If you can't appreciate that, then we shouldn't be doing business.
Now, you know, you said don't get me started on it, but I can empathize with you because a lot of times I'm judged because Not as much now, but there's still always a little bit of, oh, he's a wrestler. Like, oh, Fozzy, how good can that be? He's a wrestler. I mean,
not going to lie. When I found out the first time we met, I saw you and I was like, is that Chris Jericho?
Mm-hmm. And it was that uproar.
Yeah. And my friend was like, how do you know him? And I was like, I was a really huge wrestling fan when I was like 19, 20, because I dated a guy who was into it and I totally recognized you. I was like, oh, is he a fan of, you know, one of the bands? No, the singer of Fozzy. And I'd heard of Fozzy, but I hadn't connected the two. And I was like, shut up. I've heard that band on like Sirius or whatever. I was like, what does he play? Like, he's a singer. I was like, what? and then I felt really bad because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've judged. I was like, he's a wrestler. No offense. But I mean, it even crossed my mind. And I was like, oh my God, this is what people do to me. And I felt really horrible. Sorry.
The thing is, it's cool that you heard the band first and then afterwards, because that's the thing, like you're saying, you have this amazing script. Let's say you wrote Citizen Kane.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you wrote, you know, Inception or whatever.
Right.
This is great. We love it. Who wrote it? And it's Stormy Daniels. Well, she's a porn star. Ugh. How good can this be?
Is there exactly.
Sex in it? Like, all you can do is just have sex.
Yeah, and you know, I'm in this business because I'm too stupid to do anything else.
Yeah,
I'm like, I figured out how to make the most money with the least amount of work. I think I'm a goddamn genius.
But that's kind of the backlash that you get sometimes, and you have to fight that. So do you find that sometimes, have you tried out for outside projects that you didn't get because of your Stormy? Or
so many times.
Really?
And, but, you know, I've gotten parts because I was.
Of course.
But it's the directing thing that hurts me the most, because I am.
How do you mean?
I want to direct something mainstream. And if I wasn't who I was, then I would have had, like, I'm saying, to the point where the scripts went out without my name on it and my lawyer, my distribution, like, I have everything in place and some, you know, big people behind me, and they would do these meetings and the people would be really into it. And then they would say, oh yeah, this is the movie we want to back. We love this script, blah, blah, blah. And then I would come in and meet them, and I would have these great meetings where I would walk out and be like, killed it.
Yeah.
Totally got it. And within 2 weeks, the money guy's wife find out who you were, and, you know, they're worried about what, you know, like, I had a football player who will remain nameless, but he was really he loves film and wanted to invest some money in some movies, and I had him completely sold. He loved the script, wanted to do it, met him. He was great. He was awesome. But then his manager, publicist, somebody in his team was like, well, people are going to think that you gave her $1 million. Because
you were banging him.
You're banging or whatever. And that's not the case at all. Like, maybe I just know what I'm doing.
Well, and that's what I mean. It's like it's like, if you work, you know, I always would love when guys would say we're going to the strip club. You know, you don't pick up chicks at a strip club. They're there working, doing a job. You're working.
You're safer in a strip club than a regular bar.
That's right. Yeah. You're working directing a movie, you know, just because you have a porn star past, it doesn't necessarily mean in any way, shape, or form, that's what you're going to be doing or how you're going to get ahead. But yet that's always the perception of what it's going to be. You know, you talked about, though, even in your own, in the porn world, directing and writing all this stuff. Was that something that you started taking control, not only the fact you're a control freak, but was it a necessity to be able to continue to make a living in this business after piracy, which you mentioned earlier as well?
It would have become a necessity, yes. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, if I had not directed up until now, I would absolutely be like, oh, I'm losing money, like, I have to figure out a way. But my writing and directing happened so early in my career, before piracy got really bad.
Because you started the business right in the last kind of golden age.
Yeah,
of
I came in at the end, and I started performing in 2002, and I directed my first movie in 2003.
Oh, wow.
So I honestly started writing and directing genuinely out of love for it. I got lucky that as everything kind of took a nosedive, I was already in place.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
All right, I'm here in the lovely Los Angeles home of Stormy Daniels. 2005 is kind of when the music industry kind of fell, and, you know, porn followed that. How do you feel about the piracy and all that stuff? How does the business continue to evolve so that people can still make money off this?
We're struggling like hard. You know, I'll give you a perfect example, just being very blunt. My website 7 years ago, you know, my personal website would make $10,000 a month.
And that's just from like VIP memberships to clips. Yeah. And
I would shoot exclusive content for my site. You know, I'll do a photo shoot, put up a new set for my members once a week or whatever. And I was making plenty of money to cover
money that.
Yeah. Now, if I shoot a photo set, which I still have to pay for, I still have to pay for the location, the makeup artist, the photographer, outfits, whatever. The cost of production hasn't gone down. And I upload those pictures to my website. Within 3 hours, I can find them on 5 sites for free. My last website check was $1,400.
Wow.
And I'm way more famous now than I was 7 years ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be going up.
Of course,
it's all piracy.
Right. Yeah.
And really, I mean, you're in a band. You know, now the only way to make money is by what can people not rip off?
Yeah.
You in person. So now your bands have to do all these meet and greets now.
VIPs, meet and greets.
Meet and greets. Yeah. I know.
Signings.
Years ago, you'd never VIP meet and greets. Yeah. Like that wasn't even a thing.
Right.
And now that's what you have to do. You have to play more shows. You have to sell more t-shirts. But you still have the guy in the parking lot selling fake t-shirts.
Yeah. So
I may or may not have hit some of those guys before.
So, I mean, it's one of those things too. Like when you talk about, okay, there's like, let's say a rock band that can play stadiums. Okay, AC/DC just put their tickets on sale. Huge response. They're going to sell out. But what happens 10, 15 years from now when there is no more DC, there's no more Springsteen or McCartney or Stones or, you know, U2 and Metallica are getting older. I don't know if that will be able to exist anymore, stadium rock shows.
Because bands can't get to that level.
That's right.
Because people aren't buying the records that help them make better records, that help them make better
exactly.
stage shows. You're cutting them off at the bottom.
Exactly. The industry is eating their young.
Yes. That's a great way. Right? And the same thing is happening in it all. And you have all these great musicians out there, and no one's ever going to hear them because they can't eat. Mm-hmm. They can't. So they have to find other jobs.
Can't stay on the road.
They can't
go take it out there. And you mentioned, we talked about who's a porn star, and you said Jenna, and you talked about yourself and a couple of the names. How can someone become a porn star, a legitimate star in the business now?
Can't.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, even Asa, who's one of the biggest names, she's newer than me. She had to branch out. She has her book.
Right.
You know, you can't just.
Do you have to go on the road lots? Like,
yes.
To do strip clubs and
yes.
stuff?
Yes. Yes. And now when I dance, like I used to bring 100 DVDs and sell out. Mm-hmm. Now I bring 15. Guys be like, oh, I love all your movies. Really? What's your favorite? You know, 10 years ago, I loved you in Space Nuts. Now I'm like, oh, what's your favorite? Can't name a single movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, just download them for free. And I've actually been physically restrained before because that's why I don't drink when I'm dancing, because some guy is going to be like, oh, I just get it off the internet. I'm like, oh, so you steal from me.
And that's the thing. People don't realize
they don't realize
don't even
it.
Think like, you know. You,
that's the worst part.
You legitimately know, we're sitting on your couch, I have a pillow. If I walked out with this pillow, I stole it. That's stealing
yes.
your movie.
Yes.
You know, whatever it may be. And that's why, like, for me at least on a musician standpoint, I have never downloaded a record for free.
Me
never.
Me
I just can't. I'll buy it.
Me too.
You know, even if I never listen to it, I'll buy it, stick to my phone or whatever. At least I've bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
too.
You know, I think that with especially like DVDs for porn movies, do they even exist anymore?
Yeah, we still make them.
You still make them, right?
Yeah.
Because there's still an element of the audience that wants to see it?
And now every revenue stream that we can get.
Oh, everything counts,
Everything
right?
counts now. Everything counts.
So,
it's sad. And I'm one of those people, I like to have the physical thing.
Yeah.
Like, if I go see somebody that I am a fan of, I want to have something signed. I would like to have, you know.
Well, that's still something viable. I know for myself, whenever I'm in town or we do a show, I always go to an FYE or, you know, Best Buy and do a signing. And, you know, they will sell out, you know, a couple hundred CDs or whatever. Because people like to say hi, take the picture, get the signature. But like you said, it's a lot more work than it used to be. And other than that, you know. CDs are there just for collectors?
Yeah,
maybe
it's absolutely the problem. The root of the problem is that the very base is that people, other than the whole entitlement thing, don't even get me started on that. Is that people don't place value on intellectual property,
mm-hmm.
like you just said with the pillow. If you had built a chair, and you owned a furniture store, and someone smashed the window and stole that chair, everybody would be in an uproar. The police would come. There would be prosecution. How is building a table any different than making a song?
Mm-hmm.
It's something you created. It's, you know.
Absolutely.
If I stole your car out of the driveway, you'd be mad, but you have no problem stealing my movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing. There's no intellectual property value anymore.
Do you think that, like, you know, for example, there's always new forms of technology. We had albums that mm-hmm. went to cassettes, that went to CDs, that go to MP3s. Is there something that you think could ever happen in porn, like maybe like a hologram or something like that? That, you know, that could work. I mean, somehow with technology, as much as it's taken away from artists like ourselves, there has to be something on the horizon that maybe we'll be able to give some of that back.
I hope so. I mean, you know? It's just and younger people don't even know what they're doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've grown up with it. Like, oh, I'll just rip it for you. I'm like, you know, rip, like rip off.
Yeah.
And I've gotten onto so many of my friends who have kids that are, you know, 8, 9, 10 that are, oh, you downloaded it. I'm like, you just taught your kid to steal.
Yeah.
And they don't even realize that when I explain it to them, like, oh, wow, I feel really bad now. I'm like, yeah.
This is your
that's not any different than your kid going into 7-Eleven and stealing a candy bar. They just stole a song.
Right.
It's 99 cents. It's the same thing. People spend $5 on a cup of coffee, but they won't spend 99 cents on a song.
Exactly. I mean, come on.
That you can hear forever.
Exactly, that you have. But, you know, like you said, you've had to branch out to kind of avoid that.
I'll show you something really cool.
Okay.
It's going to blow your mind.
All right. What are you talking about? Like some kind of technology or something?
No, it's not. I think it's really funny. You're asking, like, what can...
What's something in the, something that's new?
Yeah,
technology.
It's in the other room, so we'll have.
Okay, got it. But when you started writing scripts, like, what are your favorite types of like? I know you like action. Do you write comedy too?
Comedy is my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, it's the straight stuff that's really hard for me. And I actually direct two lines for Wicked. I do the regular Wicked Pictures, which is all that stuff, and then we have a separate line called Wicked Passions that's doing really well, and I'm their exclusive director, and it's basically like diet porn.
What's diet porn?
It's diet porn. It's romance. It's like romance novel. It's a little bit softer, none of that graphic, hardcore.
So it's more like softcore porn?
It's got hardcore. It's not like what you see on television, but it's love stories.
Wow.
And they are the hardest thing for me to write because I feel so cheesy writing them and acting them. But they're doing really well because they go into like lingerie shops and it's basically Training Wheels. If you're a 55-year-old woman and you've never seen an adult film, I want to make something that will ease you into. It's the stepping stone between Cinemax and...
Yeah.
And
was it the Red Shoe Diaries or that sort of thing? So you like writing like kind of like madcap comedies?
So I like either really funny comedies, like a movie I did called Switch, which is one of my like favorite movies ever. That's wake up in each other's body, a husband and wife.
Oh.
So imagine, and I know the idea has been done a million times in mainstream, but imagine it in porn.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. So like I had to act like a dude, like, and I have, and like, I'm playing with my boobs for the first time. So it's all this funny stuff that you couldn't do in a mainstream movie.
That's
so
great.
Like really kind of funny. It was great watching the male actor be Stormy.
So do you have to have like auditions for this?
I do sometimes have auditions for the bigger stuff.
Who played that part?
Michael Vegas. And he did a eerily good job. He got nominated. He just got best actor for it
at the AVNs.
Yeah. So I like doing the really funny stuff. And then I like doing the really dark stuff. It's all the stuff in the middle that I don't like. But
like what dark? Like, how do you mean?
Like if I get to kill a bunch of people or be crazy.
Like serial killer?
Yeah. Like anything like that. Anything dark and twisted or really lighthearted and funny.
When I was a kid, I used to love B-movies, like B-horror movies. We always heard these rumors of Gornos, which were like gory pornos, and we could never find one. We finally found one. It was called Hardcore, and it was like a hardcore porn with like hardcore death scenes as well. It was like we finally found the mythical Gorno, and then once we saw one, we didn't feel too good about it anymore. But so you would love to have a Gorno if you could find one.
I want to make a gay one, and I would call it The Hills Have Guys.
So is there like – so you still do scenes on camera too?
Yeah. I star in 5 movies a year.
Oh my gosh.
And then I direct 10.
Wow. So you're working nonstop.
Once a month I direct a movie, yeah.
And are they always filmed out in L.A.?
Yes.
Do you just do one at a time?
No. Sometimes I'll do 2.
And these are all movies that you've written as well?
I write everything. I've written 103 scripts, counting the one we're shooting today. And I've directed, I think, 75.
That's crazy. What a body of work. And how many movies have you done?
If you look it up, the number's way higher than it actually is because of comps.
Comps?
Compilations.
Oh, gotcha.
I've only done, like, I think it's about 65 movies.
No,
that sounds like a lot, but there, keep in mind there's girls that make 300 movies a year.
Yeah, you've been doing it for 12 years. So that's like, you know, 4, 5, 6 a year. My math is bad. Is there certain, like, at this point in time, do you pick and choose like who you get to work with?
Yes, but I always have. I'm a control freak.
How do you establish those rules when you first started out?
I was lucky that I worked for Wicked, and they, you know, I started directing pretty early.
Like you said, one year
before
after.
I directed, when I signed with Wicked, I kind of got signed because I was dating one of the other Wicked directors. So obviously he's gonna be like, who do you want to work with?
Yeah. So who's some of your favorite guys that you like to work with? Is there like a little stable?
Yeah. I like Michael Vegas, mm-hmm. Because he's down for anything ridiculous I want to do. Like, he's got great comedy. He doesn't take himself seriously. You know, he's great.
Which is the secret to any good comedy.
Exactly.
Right.
Stephen St. Croix has always been one of my favorites. He's an amazing actor, and he's also pretty awesome. He knows what he's doing. Course, we can't forget Randy Spears, who's retired now. But
is he retired? Yeah,
yeah. We did so many movies together, people thought we were actually dating. And we never did. Never. We always played husband and wife, and I always killed him for some reason. He's like, you're gonna be the death of me, Daniels, for real. And I did almost kill him on set one time. I missed with a sword.
You're having a sword fight?
Yeah, and I missed, and I almost killed him.
Real swords?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm not doing another take. I'm done.
So, like, what, did you actually stab him?
I was supposed to go between his arm and his whatever, but it was on a move, like a swing around move, and I went, he had a shirt and a vest on, and I went through, and it just scratched him. But I was like, who thought it was a good idea to give me a real sword? This is a terrible idea. I would like to state for the record that I did not write or direct that film, because I would not give people real swords.
That's the thing, like, too, if you're going to be in a sword fight, like in a Hollywood movie, there's weeks of rehearsals.
And yeah, we had like 2 days.
Choreography. Wow. Has there been other things like that you've had to do? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, tell us some more.
This is a great story. So when we were shooting Operation Tropical Stormy, there's a scene in the movie where I'm in a tent and a guy throws a grenade. It's a comedy, though, so it's slapstick. And a guy throws a grenade and I'm in a bikini and it rolls between my legs and I do the whole look, ooh, big eyes, and I take off running and the tent explodes. So we had a pyro crew, like, a, you know, and they came out and they set everything up, and you have to have a, you know, fire marshal and a fire truck and whatever, permits, and it's all legit. And so he goes, okay, well, who's going to be doing the stunt? Who's going to be the girl? And I was like, it's me. No, okay, yeah, but when we cut for the real explosion, who's your stunt double? Because we have to have a safety meeting. Uh-huh. I was like, no, really, it's me. I'm going to do it. And they thought I was kidding. So, like, give us 1 minute. And they walk away, and me and my crew are on one side, and, you know, the people who are just there for the pyro stuff are huddled up. I'm like, this doesn't look good. They come back, they're like, we're going to need 20 minutes. So we're like, okay, we're down for 20. Two more fire trucks show up. They all come out with,
really?
Like, I was like, a little faith, guys, please. So the gag was that, you know, the thing rolls between my legs and I take off running. And when I hit a mark they marked in the sand, that's when they were going to blow the tent. And I was supposed to jump and I land on this inflatable pad. Mm-hmm. And the tent goes up behind me. And we rehearsed it. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do it for real. And everybody was so freaked out. They're like, and that's what you're wearing? Because I'm in a thong bikini.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, yeah. And of course, I have the big porno hair, so I'm extra flammable.
Hairspray aplenty.
Yeah, it's just a horrible idea. So, you know, on cue, we do it for real. Take off running. I hit the mark. I jump. They blow the tent. Oh, my God. The impact from the tent actually overshot me.
Wow.
From the mat. It looks amazing if you watch the movie. It's super cool.
Did it burn you?
My whole back was like, it looked like it was sunburned for like 2 days.
Wow.
I was like, now I get it. And in the same movie, I jumped off a roof on a wire. And
so you have a pretty hardcore stunts.
Yeah.
See, people don't realize that about that side of porn.
Yeah. It's fun. Like the movie, like I said, it's coming out this week, Pretty Dangerous. We have a bunch of fight scenes and we did fight choreography and I got bloodied up. You know, the guy missed and punched me for real.
And obviously you're a tough chick, so you don't mind that stuff.
No, I want to do it. It's fun. That's the best part of the job, is that it's never the same. I can't imagine being locked like in a cubicle. I would go crazy.
So when you're talking about, you know, you like having the group, your little group, you mentioned Stephen St. Croix and all this stuff. Is there certain guys that when you see that he's going to be working with him, it's like, oh, this is going to be great, like more fun than others, like from a sexual standpoint,
yeah,
a chemistry,
for sure.
Standpoint,
for sure, you know? And I mean, it's weird because some guys aren't like somebody I would necessarily find attractive. Mm-hmm. This is the weird thing about porn, is like if you're out and you go to a bar and you pick up a guy you think is hot,
right,
you could be disappointed when you go home because he sucks.
Yeah,
porn is opposite, because I'll see a guy and I'm like, ugh, I don't really want to work with him because I'm not attracted to him. He's not that cute.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hire him because he's perfect for the part. And I'll, you know, take one and whatever. And then you get in there and it's a guy you would never look twice at. And I'm like, oh my God. He know, like, what for me? Okay, I get it now. Like, yeah. He's just good at what he does, you know?
Right.
And then I'm lucky because I, my significant other, my husband or whatever, is does movies now too.
Oh, okay. Did he do movies when you first met him?
No.
So you got him into it?
I made him.
What?
He's a musician. Uh-huh. When we met, and he was on tour, and we met, and it's the typical rock star, porn star mm-hmm. thing. And we started talking about having a family. And I was like, here's the thing. If we're going to have a kid... And the face you're making at me right now is the exact same face.
Kind of a confused
he,
face.
He made at me. And I was like, well, here's the thing. I'm not saying we're going to break up. And I'm not saying that if we do break up, you're going to try to take our hypothetical child at this point in time. Right. But I've seen it happen too many times. And we need to level this playing field so that if we ever split up, the judge can't side with you because I'm the one that does porn.
Wow.
So you get in there and you fuck that girl. So, yes, I forced him into it just to take that card off the table in case we were to ever have a custody problem.
That's interesting.
It's evil genius is what it is.
Of course. It's a control freak. I guess another reason, too, is be like, you know, if your hypothetical child grew up and found out that, you know, mom was a porn star. Now dad's a porn star, too. So you can take that guilt off the table as well.
Exactly. And, you know, hypothetical child is now a real child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That this is your
my daughter. Yeah.
Oh, so you guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been together 6 years.
Okay. So how old is she?
She's 4.
Okay. So that hypothetical child is now real.
Yeah, she's real. And you met her.
I did.
Yeah. She has your picture in her room.
Yeah, it was a signing at Dallas.
Dallas, yeah.
World of Wheels. That's right.
And it was just one of those things. Like, I never want this. I've seen it happen too many times. Mm-hmm. Even girls who didn't even do porn, maybe we were just strippers. And the guy played that card. I should get custody, and the judge sided with him. Wow. So now I just took that off the table. And I, and you know, his name, his stage name is Brendan Miller, and he edits for me now too. Mm-hmm. You know, he wouldn't. I don't believe he would ever do that. He's never. If, even if we were to split up, I don't think he's the kind of person that would do that. But the safety net is nice.
Well, yeah, and like I said, when you started going telling this story, I thought because it would also be when your daughter gets older. Now, mom and dad. Or porn stars. It's not just mom.
Yeah, I never really thought of it. Like,
so it's like kind of a, it would seem like it would be like more of a family thing now. It's like not just you.
Yeah.
If someone says, your mom's a porn star, well, so my dad is too. Big deal, right?
Big deal, yeah.
Do you think about that when your daughter gets older?
A little bit, but not because I have any problem with what I do. Mm-hmm. It's a job. It's sex. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Whatever issues other people have, they're Puritan, whatever, that's your problem.
Right.
I have no problem. I don't tell her what I do. She's not old enough yet.
Yeah, of course not.
But I'm not going to hide it. And she's definitely going to hear it from me before she hears it from some other boy in her class. Right. Because not only do I want her to know from me, I don't want her to be caught off guard. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have some snappy comebacks so she can check them when they try to like talk shit to her.
Have you thought of any of them yet?
Not yet, but okay. I'm sure I'll write some good ones.
I'm sure.
And she's a really good, she's a strong kid. And she, I mean, she'll check somebody anyway. She's already smarter than most people. And so I want her to be prepared, but I still have no regrets. Like, she gets to, you know, I grew up in Louisiana with no money. Mm-hmm. And now my child can go have the best of everything.
Right.
And I have no problem with what I do. No shame. Her family doesn't. She's loved. Everybody loves her. But someone is going to treat her badly.
Of course.
And then I'm going to go to jail. And I have a story about that because my friend, who is no longer in the industry, she's been out for a long time. And she was very popular before. Well, she's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. She was very popular before the internet, before people could see all this stuff. And she was never a huge star. She only did Girl Gold, very tame. Mm-hmm. And she got out and had a child. And she told me a story that when her son was 6 years old in his class, there was 30 kids in the class and 29 were invited to a birthday party. And he didn't get an invitation or a cupcake. And when he was like, well, what happened to me? The mother of that kid was like, we don't want, you know, kids that come from parents, you're not worthy kind of thing. And in my mind, that mother is way more of a monster than anything my friend could have done on camera.
Absolutely.
Because who makes a little kid feel bad for something that someone else does?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to happen. And I know it's going to happen. And
yeah. Well, so you said this, you give her some witty repartee and she'll be all set. Yeah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was, I guess you'd say kind of a a radio veteran that was like, I hate it when non-radio guys get podcasts and that's bullshit and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, whatever. Do you feel that way sometimes when you feel, when you see, like, you know, let's say Kardashian as a porn tape and everyone wants to watch it. Does that bother you?
Do you want to hear my Kim Kardashian story?
I would love to.
Okay. So, so we were at the E20th anniversary party. I don't remember who got me invited, but it was red carpet and whatever. And Kim Kardashian.
Like E! Network.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I walked the red carpet and Kim Kardashian was there. And she is so beautiful. I don't know if you've ever seen her in person.
I haven't up close.
She's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah, like her skin.
Because a lot of times when you see girls up close,
yeah,
it's not
but
the
she's
case.
Flawless.
Wow.
Like she's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, she's really beautiful. And somebody was like, oh, Stormy, can I get a picture of you on camera? And everybody's taking pictures. It's press. It's a private party. And she went to take a picture with me. And she was like, oh, my God, you're so pretty. I'm like, so are you. She's like, yeah. And she went to take a picture with me. And her publicist grabs her and yanked her away and whispered in her ear, don't take a picture with her. She's a porn star. And Kim made this face and was like, and they dragged her away. And I was like, bitch, I'm not the one with the number one DVD out right now.
Right.
Because it was kind of like when her thing was more new.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a bigger porn star than I am. I am not the number one selling DVD right now. That would be you. Don't.
It's crazy because.
And hers... I wanted to hit her. And looking back, I probably would be a lot more famous right now if I was the person who smacked Kardashian.
You would have got that picture with her printed for
right.
sure. But that's the thing, because her porn tape wasn't official.
But it was, because anybody who works in porn knows that there's a law called 2257.
What's that?
That says it's designed supposedly to keep under, you know, child porn. But anytime you make a movie to release it, or you have to sign paperwork and have it, no one could sell her DVD. You can walk into any porn shop in the country and buy her DVD, right?
Really?
That store cannot sell that DVD without her paperwork on file in
so
the store.
So she signed.
Everybody did. They're all fake. So, nothing has ever been leaked.
You think it's a publicity stunt?
It worked. More power to her.
I guess so, right?
Hey, I don't hate her. I think she's a genius.
Because we always think about that. You know, like
Tommy Paris Hilton,
Lee, Pam
yeah.
Anderson, Paris
they signed
Hilton
paperwork.
To get that
no
out there.
Store could carry the DVD if they didn't have a copy of the release.
Wow.
It's a law called 2257.
See, you know all of that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, I have to do the paperwork. And the paperwork is a huge violation of privacy. You know what? Billy Bob, who's the store clerk in... Kansas City can open their has a copy of my ID.
How?
2257.
You have to put your like license on.
Yeah,
file
they have
something?
Everything. They have our model releases proving that we're of age.
Wow.
It's yeah. It's a real. It's not cool.
Have you ever had any problems with like stalkers?
Yeah.
Shall we say?
Yeah, of course.
That follow you around or send you
yeah.
letters or
yeah.
How do you deal with that?
It's hard because there's one guy who spent $150,000 in the last 2 years to follow me. And he doesn't even live in this country, and he'll just show up at things I'm at. And, he's the weird kind of stalker, cause he's not the kind that's like threatened me. And that's the other reason why they won't do anything. Cause he's never threatened me and he's never tried to touch me, but he thinks I'm his girlfriend. Mm. And I have pictures of his apartment. There's not a square inch of wall space in his house. It's not a photo of me. And wow. He even went so far as to build a bedroom with a crib and everything for when me and my baby, he thought she was a boy at the time because when she was like super tiny, we're going to go live with him. Like he thinks he's my boyfriend. And no one will help me because
see,
he hasn't.
Legally, you can't.
Can't do anything. First of all, he hasn't threatened me. And second of all, like he'll show up someplace and they'll throw him out and then he'll try to come back in, which is then trespassing if it's at a strip club or whatever. And many times I've had the police show up. Most notably in Oklahoma City, they made me so angry. I found out he was in my hotel. He had no reason to be there, and the police came, and they actually
like in the lobby or something.
No, he got a room next
oh, gotcha.
To my room.
Gotcha. Wow.
And then he came to the club, and the club threw him out. But then he kept trying to come back, and I thought he was going to follow me. And I was particularly worried about this booking because Oklahoma City is only a couple hours from Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and I had driven, and I was scared wow. he was going to follow me all the way home.
Right.
And the police came, and they looked me right in the face, and one of the cops said, well, what do you expect considering what you do? I was like, oh, because I do porn, I don't deserve to have somebody not follow me home.
Yeah.
He's like,
exactly.
Well, you're kind of asking for it. You put yourself out there like that.
That is such bullshit, huh?
Yeah, right?
Like how do you combat that? Like that makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, but it happens all the time.
Wow. Do you have a bodyguard sometimes that you work? I remember one time I saw you and you had somebody
yeah.
with you.
Yeah, he's assistant. I see him. He just got here. He's wandering around. Wandering outside.
Back
yeah.
So you do have somebody watching your back just in case.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you are right. You go into these places, strange right. places, strip clubs, whatever. And who knows, right?
Yeah, I'm sure you've had some psycho
yeah,
chicks
I have.
Who, you know.
Guys, too. I mean, yeah. there's a lot of weird people out there that, and it's, and there's Uber fans and there's people that legitimately believe what they think is real. Like
exactly.
You said, like,
and that's this
right,
guy.
Right. Right.
Yeah. yeah.
So just make sure that you have somebody with you at all times, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because that's the thing, you're a fantasy. That's your job, is to be the fantasy.
Yeah, you know, same as
screen.
You know.
You know, yeah, we're portraying.
You're
something
really
that we're
asking
not.
For it. I mean, yeah. you have the wrestling thing, and you have the rock star thing. So you've blanketed the crazy
double
lady.
Double whammy, yeah, exactly. When you just a couple more questions. When you first had sex on camera, was it hard to do? Is it you just have to let go and go for it, or how does it?
First of all, I was a stripper first, mm-hmm. so. Taking my clothes off wasn't the scary part. I was used to that. And my very first scene was a girl scene. And I came out here with a friend of mine because she just didn't want to come to California by herself. And she's like, oh, if you come with me, I'll buy you a plane ticket. I'd never been here. I was like, oh, cool, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And the girl that she was supposed to do the scene with canceled. And she was freaked out with the thought of having sex with someone she didn't know. She's like, will you do the scene with me? Because we know each other and please, 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 please. And I said, yeah. So we get to set and she was the one that was super nervous. And I spent so much time like trying to calm her down that I was halfway through the scene before I realized that
you're,
I didn't have the chance
there.
To be nervous.
Yeah.
And then my first scene with, the first couple months I was in the industry, I only worked with girls.
Okay.
And
ease your way in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my first scene with a guy I was lucky was the guy I mentioned that I was dating when I first got in the business.
Oh, okay.
So I had it definitely like training wheels. I definitely had it, yeah. had it easy.
Do you get paid less if it's girl?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah. Every sex act, you know, as girl is less, girl anal is more, boy, you know, the more.
What's the highest act? What's the highest paying act?
DP.
DP. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's the big money.
That's the big one. Yeah.
Is there some girls that,
and I hate to say this, but interracial DP pays even more.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of guys like hit the girls for not doing interracial, but what they don't understand is if she holds out longer, she can get way more money. It's not really a racist thing. There's plenty of girls who love that, but they're like, why would I miss out on that $10,000 payday? Because you can only have your first thing one time.
That's right. And that's the one that's probably going to make the most.
That's the
cash,
one.
Right?
Yeah.
Is have you done all of those?
Nope.
Is there
I haven't done any of them.
None of them.
I haven't even. Nope.
That's what I love. Like,
pace,
I love
pace.
Your attitude, asa attitude. You guys are calling your own shots.
Yeah. I've 2 months ago, I did my first girl anal.
Oh, like with a strap on or something like that?
Just a toy. It was me and Asa.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I had to make up for making her cry. So I was like, okay, you can be the first person to put something in my butt on camera.
Okay.
But I've never even done anal.
Wow. Just with the girl.
Yeah, she's the first one.
And this is after all these
years.
So
all these years.
What is your future like? Do you want to like run Wicked someday? Or is your goal to kind of take over? Because you're already doing everything you can possibly do.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Is, right. 15 years, 10, I haven't been around that long, but 10 years ago, I really thought I would have retired from performing by now because mm-hmm. I'm old and I've accepted that.
Whatever.
And I really so thought that I would just be directing and I wanted to own my own production company and, you know, be the Steve Orenstein or the Steve Hirsch because they made a lot of money back when there was money to be made.
Mm-hmm. Is that what Jenna did too?
Yeah. But that's not an option anymore because of all the things that we've been talking about
and everything. Yeah.
And, but now if, you know, my ultimate dream is to direct some mainstreams. I want to direct.
You want to be a director.
I want to be a director.
Of television,
I have no
movies and
illusion of being a mainstream actress. I'm not that good at it. I don't want to do it. It doesn't satisfy me. And I don't even want to be, you know, Steven Spielberg. I don't even want to do these big budget things because I don't even think that would be very fulfilling because you have all these.
So much, yeah.
Well, you have all these people.
Yeah.
I'm the control freak. Like, right. Like there's committees and you get out. Too many producers. I really just want to direct, like, if I could get a job for, like, the Hallmark Channel or Life, doing those.
Yeah.
That would
like the direct to video.
Yeah, I would love it. And direct music videos would be like my ultimate dream.
See, but why wouldn't you be able to do that? Like if you look at like a Tracy Lords or Sasha Gray, I mean they've made mainstream acting appearances.
Oh, I have. I'm in tons of mainstream.
But that's what I mean.
Virgin,
but why wouldn't you be able to do that directly? Like if you're directing, let's say you're directing, I don't know, Mark of the Vampire, directed by Stormy Daniels,
because they don't think I'm smart enough to do it.
But wouldn't somebody take a chance on you as an investor just for your name value alone?
I keep trying. And that's why I'm trying to do a horror movie first, because they're more forgiving.
That's what I'm saying, of course.
And they have all these, you know, magazines. I'm like, come on. These magazines will put me on the cover because I have
big boobs
and whatever. Like, yeah. I'm a shoo-in, but no one wants to touch it. They just won't do it.
Because there's a guy called Gregory Dark.
I know him.
He's a ex-porn star, or porn director.
Mm-hmm, and there's another one, Michael Raven. Used to be a contract director for Wicked Pictures. I won't say his real name because he's hidden it. But he now directs faith-based movies.
Wow.
And horror movie. If you're a guy, it's different. Ron Jeremy could probably go direct a movie right now. But
because you're a girl.
I was a performer, no one takes me serious.
In this day and age, that's so ridiculous.
It is. It's really screwed
up. Like I said, I remember the reason why I know the name Gregory Dark because he did...
Britney Spears.
He did Britney Spears. He also did Kane's first movie from the WWE called See No Evil. And so, I mean, you would think just from the massive name value that you have, but you'll get your chance.
I wonder, is he the one that directed that movie? No, I did a movie with some wrestlers, but he wasn't with Batista. Anyway, that wasn't the director.
Which one was that called?
Wrong Side of Town.
Right, yeah, Dave was in that.
Yeah.
Before he went and became like one of the biggest stars in the world right now, after Guardians of the Galaxy.
I played his wife in a movie, yeah. Right. But that was an actress, and they just needed someone to look hot.
Yeah.
I can look hot all day long. Like, people don't have a problem putting me in that. I've been in lots of music videos.
Okay, well, the thing is, this podcast goes out to a lot of people, so if you're out there...
Yeah, if you want to give me a lot of money.
Yeah, Stormy is your girl. Tell me. She will finish on time.
Yes.
The budget will be met. All of that sort of thing. I want you to tell me about...
I'll be under budget.
Under budget. Under budget and a day earlier. If you
there
get
we go.
If you three-week shoot, you'll do it in 20 days.
Yes.
That's the guarantee.
That's the guarantee.
Tell me about a couple last questions. Tell me about the... just something that I read about here, about the secret porn handshake.
Did you read that?
I got this a couple notes from my producer, and it's the secret porn shake is the bump elbows. I want to hear about that.
Do you really want to shake hands with me knowing where my hand's been? Or more importantly, do you want to shake hands with a dude knowing where his hand's been? Fluffers are a myth. You're your own fluffer, if you know what I mean. You fluff yourself. Do you really want to walk in and shake someone's hand?
Bump elbows.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie that you've ever directed and your favorite movie that you've ever starred in?
Oh my goodness, it's so hard. I'm going to say Operation Desert Stormy. Mm-hmm. And it is not...
It's a great name, by the way.
Yeah. It is not the best movie at this point in time that I've done because I've gotten much better, you know. But it is the first big movie I did and it won Best Comedy. And it was sort of the turning point where people were like, oh shoot, she really does direct and within the industry. And you got to love a movie where Ron Jeremy plays Saddam Hussein.
He played Saddam Hussein?
Yeah.
That's great.
So it was a lot of fun. And so that's, you know, and then the sequel, Tropical Stormy. I was the first one to make fun of North Korea. Just saying.
There you go. Hello.
And because I got to blow a lot of stuff up and do all these stunts.
You like that?
Yeah, I love it. So that one was really cool. And then
has there ever been something that you wrote where your boss went, Stormy, come on, we can't film this. We can't do this.
That Desert Stormy.
Oh, really?
I was told that it was unshootable.
Really?
Yep. And I said, if I don't pull it off, I will pay for it in full myself. And we did it, and it won, and it did great, and went on to be, it's quoted as the best adult movie of all time, is what it's called with the reviewers, and it won a bunch of stuff, and sold, you know, I did a whole tour based on it. And
that's huge.
Yeah.
And you wrote and directed it?
Wrote
this.
It, directed, and starred in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Triple threat.
Yes.
How about a movie that you didn't write or direct?
There is no such thing.
In the pre-directing days?
No.
They were all bad.
I've directed 99% of the movies I've been in.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You are a definitely a unique person in this biz, and that's why you've done so well. That's why you're massive. That's why you're a true porn star.
Hey, if you want things done right, you got to do it yourself.
That's exactly right. Stormy, you're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Stormy Daniels. Very, very cool girl, and a fascinating conversation about how the adult film industry really works, the issues they face with piracy, very similar to the music industry, very similar to the DVD industry, very similar to the book industry even. Plus, I learned a couple new things about diet porn and the secret porn handshake. Who knew? And don't forget, you can listen to her friend Asa Akira in another episode of Talk is Jericho. She was on way back in episode 79, another great conversation with a girl in the biz, hardworking girl in the biz. Speaking about a hardworking person in the biz, I'm going to talk about my friend Mick Foley. Not only is he a great legendary wrestler, great stand-up comedian as well, and also a great humanitarian, and he's got an amazing raffle for the WrestleMania Dream Vacation, Mick Foley's WrestleMania Dream Vacation. It's an amazing grand prize trip to Santa Clara, California, to go to WrestleMania 31. Take part in tons of the activities and events happening around it, plus all the proceeds from the raffle ticket sales will benefit RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. If you win, you get to go to WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, Monday Night Raw, and you'll get to meet and hang out with Mick Foley. What an amazing, amazing opportunity. Tickets are only $2 each, but you have to buy a minimum of five. Buy those tickets at WrestleMania.RAIN.org. That's WrestleMania.RAIN.org. The winner will be chosen on March 18th. All right. Speaking of winners, if you live in the UK or Europe or Ireland and you've come to see the Cinderblock Party Tour, you have won because it is underway. We are killing it on this tour. Half the dates have sold out. The other half might as well have. Crowds have been insane. I'm walking off stage every night drenched in sweat, playing some new songs. People are going nuts, chanting Fozzy, jumping up and down, chanting hey, 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 1, 2, 3, showing their boobs, whether they're guys or girls. We are having a blast over here. Don't be left out. Don't be that guy that people go, hey, did you see Fozzy last night? You go, no, I didn't go. And you're like, oh, you are a nerd. You are a loser. Go see Fozzy. Exeter, we are in you tonight. Exeter, we're here. Tomorrow, March 14th in Southampton. Brighton on March 15th. We get one day off. Then we head to Paris, Pratteln, Switzerland, Munich, Germany, Mannheim, Germany, Bochum, Germany on March 21st. You need to go to FozzyRock.com. Check out all ticket information. There are tickets left to some of the shows. Some of them are close to selling out. So if you're thinking about it, if you're sitting on the fence, go to see Fozzy and go to FozzyRock.com for all information on tickets and for VIP packages. We have the greatest VIP experience in the world. Come hang out with us. I'll buy you a sandwich. I will. All right. Thank you so much once again for checking out the show. I love doing this for you for free for twice a week. And thanks to Amazon for helping me keep the ball rolling, keep the wheels greased. You go to podcastone.com. You click on the Keep Our Podcast Free button at the top of the page. You click on Talk is Jericho. You see all them Amazon links and you shop. You just shop. That's all you got to do. And every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show. So we keep doing this for free for a week. No hidden fees or hidden charges. No extra charges. You're just getting that shopping done. You're helping me out in the process. All right. Very, very excited. Another fine episode of Talk is Jericho. And you are here. You're making it happen. And we'll see you next week. But in the meantime and in between time, you stay hard. You stay hungry. Have a lot of fun. Be cool to your family and your friends. And we'll see you on Wednesday. Yeah, boy. Yeehaw.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.